This is the Mizzou Sports Podcast, presented by the Columbia Daily Tribune.
Hello and welcome to another Mizzou Sports Podcast. My name is Eric Blum, breaking down Mizzou sports with you every week here on the show. Joining me, as always, is the regional sports editor for the Columbia Daily Tribune, Kevin Grayler. How are you doing on this Thursday, Kevin?
Doing excellent. Glad to do this again.
We are coming to you Thursday, the 12th of December, obviously.
Indeed.
And what a kind of last week it's been. We'll start with, obviously, the big news of the Mizzou world and kind of go from there. Obviously, they hired Eli Drinkwitz, the former Appalachian State head coach, to replace Barry Odom. That happened officially on Tuesday morning after being heavily speculated and reported by us and several other outlets. Before then, that kind of all happened Sunday night, and we'll get into that story. But
it's quite the process, yeah. But it's done, and really, start to finish, Jim Sterk and his coaching search only took a matter of
9 days.
9 days.
So, Kevin,
it
you
were like it was longer than that,
right?
But it wasn't.
That's how these things go. I mean, it's only been 16 days, being today that the NCAA charges were upheld, and that just seems bizarre. That was only 2 weeks plus ago. Like, oh my, like the game against Georgia or like the game against, Tennessee just seems like it was a millennium ago. And that was November 23rd. That was right before Thanksgiving. I mean,
had some breaking news since then.
Yeah, it's Mizzou.
On multiple occasions.
Yes, yes, yes. Mizzou has stayed in the national headlines. But let me start here with you, Kevin. You were at the press conference on Tuesday. Overall impressions of Eli Drinkwitz?
First impressions?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
You know, I think the introductory press conference as head coach, that would be hard to lose. But Eli Drinkwitz won on his first day as Mizzou head coach. I think he came across very confident, very charismatic, very much wanting to instill this vision that he has for where he can bring this program going into the future. You know, this guy has won everywhere that he has been. He really has had a meteoric type of rise through the college football coaching ranks. To be 36 years old and a head coach in the Southeastern Conference is pretty impressive. On the flip side, this is new territory for Eli, coming off of his one and only season ever leading a football program at Appalachian State, going 12-1, winning the Sun Belt Conference. There's a lot that Mizzou football has to prove in the coming years, but in the same way, Eli Drinkwitz has a lot to prove that he can just continue to sustain this winning momentum that he's had. Every team that he's been part of has been successful. So I think you're looking at this intersection of Drinkwitz and Mizzou. And like I said in my column from that day, just the gut feeling that I had is that this could be the perfect match.
Well, in that sense, what do you define as a perfect match? I mean, being a perfect match, did opposites attract? Is it similar people? What do you define as that perfect match then?
You know, I think very simply, Drinkwitz, for all the success that he's had, for the great year that he had at App State, he is not a finished product.
And
in that very same way, neither is Mizzou.
Yeah.
You have Sterk, who wants to elevate Mizzou into this standing nationally, where it's top 25 year in, year out. You have an eager coach coming in, lots of energy. You know, trying to recapture that momentum that was lost in 2019, because we have to remember, just 2 months ago, this very Missouri Tigers team was ranked number 22.
Literally 2 months ago to the day was the homecoming game against Ole Miss, October 12th. 2 months from today was that game. And the talk was, well, who's going to hire Derek Dooley as the head coach? Because he was doing so well running the offense, and Barry was well into his first year of a contract extension. And here we are 2 months later, where I'm not sure a single staff member is going to be retained after the firing of Barry Odom.
So the fact that Tuesday happened with Drinkwitz being introduced as head coach, really just to step back and think about it, what a crazy whirlwind that we even got to that point.
Yeah, it has been a very roller coaster, divisive, turbulent, whatever you want to call it, very up and down kind of season for Mizzou. I mean, just from even the hiring of him is so on brand for this university. Of
you mean it wasn't smooth?
Not that it wasn't smooth. It was just how quickly and how just out of the blue, just how roller coaster drop, how quickly it happened. So
maybe unpack that a little bit.
So okay,
certainly, I mean, so, short list of candidates that Sterk had at first. Mm-hmm. Drinkwitz was not on that, and Drinkwitz even made note of that. You know that this job came open, but he wasn't contacted initially. So he said, okay, just gonna keep grinding where he was.
So I can back this up. Even to last Sunday. So last Sunday is when I came out with my story of 15 names to keep an eye on. And I understand that the last five were kind of jokes and were kind of playing fun with having a long article like that.
What were the longest odds that you put?
1,000 to 1 being Gary Pinkle, which we can get into a little bit more of the passing of the visor.
He was in the South Endzone facility this
week.
Right.
I mean, Ryan Walters was also at the press conference because he's a very upstanding, former defensive coordinator at the University of Missouri, was at the press conference introducing.
He's a good guy. We'll see what happens with some of those staffers for sure.
But going back, I had been contacted by a couple sources. Here's kind of the short list that Jim Sterk wants. And I don't know the validity of that at this point. It sounded like a good list, but Elijah Drinkwitz was not on that list. And those were the top five names in my article of Mike Norvell, now the head coach at Florida State. Brian Harsin, who's probably not going to leave for anything under like a $6 million contract from Boise State.
He's got a good gig as it is.
He's got a pretty damn good gig. Billy Napier, and I'll get into the point about him from Louisiana Lafayette in a minute. Jeff Monken from Army, who I'll also revisit in a minute. And then Jim Mora Jr., who is the out-of-the-box, connected, Sterk, Pac-12 kind of hire, West Coast kind of hire. And then there was the secondary list, once kind of the smoke cleared, of there was reported names that were brought to the UM Board of Curators last Wednesday or last Thursday, as we recorded this, like right after it happened, and Elijah Drinkwitz wasn't even on that list either.
And Blake Anderson was, I think, the top reported name there, the Arkansas State coach.
It was Blake Anderson, and there was some reports that Jim Sterk actually offered him the job.
Sterk denied that.
Sterk denied that, vehemently denied that on Tuesday. We'll see if that, where that kind of, I think it's, there's his side, her side, and the truth. I think it's one of those.
Maybe
kind
it's
of
in
scenarios.
The middle somewhere.
Yeah. Also on the list was Jeff Monken. Also on the list was Skip Holtz from Louisiana Tech. And then also on the list was one name I'm forgetting, Willie Fritz from Tulane. And then the appropriate response, I guess, was kind of try again from the UM Board of Curators, essentially. Like, that's just not good enough. So it looked like there was a bunch of just, well, where are we heading from here? Kind of Saturday morning. That's why we had you. I'm pretty sure that's why you had me write that column. It's like that appeared in Sunday's paper of, well, where
it was right on time because all those questions were answered within about 24 hours of that Sunday print edition coming out.
Right. And our computer kind of fritzes out. No, we're actually good. Never mind. As I was watching Mizzou volleyball get ready to end their season against Nebraska, watch that. I was getting ready to watch Missouri basketball. And we'll revisit that a little bit. Later beat Temple in Philly.
That's a good win. Quality win.
In the background, I'm kind of watching football. It was Championship Saturday. Watched LSU romp Georgia.
Ooh.
And conference championship game. Kind of to, I'm in a sense, watch Billy Napier. He's still a name that was out there from Louisiana Lafayette to kind of see what his offense looked like, what he was running. And it turns out I should have been watching the other team. Should have been watching the other sideline, watching Elijah Drinkwitz.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing is, it's how quickly he literally went from off the radar to hired in about 36 hours.
Yeah.
So name first kind of appeared on my radar Saturday night.
Yeah.
As a potential
this was
guy.
A done deal, evidently, by Sunday afternoon.
Right. First appeared Saturday night. Okay, this is kind of the second group of names that are out there. Sunday morning kind of appeared, okay, there's some more traction there. By lunchtime Sunday, he was the front runner. By dinner time, he was hired, and it was public knowledge. Like, that quick. It was done deal. Like, I guess Missouri saw something they must have loved, and we could see some of the potential that was there on Tuesday, and they pounced incredibly quickly. Like, it was nothing to everything within 36 hours.
Now, one unique aspect of just the negotiation and really sealing the deal was that three curators actually went to North Carolina with Sterk and with the Mizzou contingent. Can you kind of delve into a little bit of why that was? And I mean, certainly that's not something that always happens.
Well, we touched on it a tiny bit before of when you have kind of a public outcry of, well, the board curators might not trust Sterk or whatever. I think that that'd be a concern if I was Elijah Drinkwitz. Like, am I
going to have full support, or am I walking into into some type of warning zone?
At the end of the day, the list of names, and if you include Elijah Drinkwitz in those four names, of those five people of Bonkin, Fritz, Holtz, Anderson, and Drinkwitz, the least experienced head coach is Drinkwitz. So it's like, if they're not good enough, what makes me good enough? Or in your eyes, I'm sure Eli Drinkwitz, even if Blake Anderson at Arkansas State's a confident guy, but there's that kind of pushback, that push and pull that's already out there.
You at least have that in the back of your mind. So I think if nothing else, that just kind of just helped assure Drinkwitz of, you know what, Missouri is for real about this. Mm-hmm. From University of Missouri System President Montchoy to MU Chancellor Alexander Cartwright, to the curators, Jim Sterk, you know, all the way through. I think that really, even in your discussions with Elijah's wife, Lindsay, I think that really carried lots of weight. The fact that the Missouri, you know, traveling salespeople really is what we'll call that crew.
The traveling circus, yes.
The traveling circus, I don't know.
Instead of Barnum and Bailey, we'll call it Sterk and Cartwright, yeah.
They literally made clear that they were not going to get back on that plane for Columbia until they had Elijah and his family with them.
And although I think the Drinkwitz family, not named Elijah Drinkwitz, might have flown back to North Carolina to kind of tie up loose ends and finish school with their four daughters and all things like that, Elijah's been on the road recruiting 100% of the time basically since Tuesday.
Yeah, in Tennessee on his first full day.
And then he's in St. Louis this morning. He's already popped up at Lutheran North, where Antonio Doyle goes to school, and popped up at Kirkwood, where a guy by the name of Jeremy Macklin, you might have heard of before.
Yeah, I think
coaches,
I have. Yeah.
But his cousin, Jay Macklin's a 2020 commit. So, yeah.
And Jay Macklin has come out and said that he's staying put. He's keeping his commitment here.
But when Barry was the head coach, Jay Macklin was one of those guys, kind of like Jack Buford was last year, of openly recruiting who he wants to be his college teammates. And they was very open about that when Odom was here. I think that hasn't changed much now with Drinkwitz here. He's one of those kids that, along with, I'd say, both Columbia commits Will Norris and Jalen Logan Redding, that I'm sure they had great relationships with Coach Odom, but they're coming here because it's Mizzou. They're coming here not because of one person, because they already bleed the black and gold in a sense. So I think that's already coming, and I think there's somewhere between 12 to 15 names of recruits of prospective or already committed guys that are going to be in Columbia this weekend to visit with each other and Coach Drinkwitz and all that. So yeah, and yes, as you mentioned earlier, I did talk with probably about 10-15 minutes with Elijah's wife, Lindsay. It was really fun to talk to, and kind of broke down about, from her perspective, how everything kind of happened of, well, you know, they were invested seeing their daughter in the Nutcracker, the ballet.
And it's Saturday night. So, I mean, that timeline then, is really something.
Saturday night and then a Sunday matinee.
It was Saturday afternoon for the Sun Belt Championship?
It was Saturday afternoon from the Sun Belt Championship. Went right from there to the Nutcracker, and then Elijah Drinkwitz left that play early, or ballet early, to go visit with Missouri, went home to visit with his family. They were meeting again Sunday morning, and then he went to go see the full thing with his daughter, and he started to finish
the matinee.
The matinee show the next day, and then things intensified after that, and then they were on a plane Monday, and he was introduced on Tuesday.
First of all, props to Elijah for making that Nutcracker Saturday night.
Absolutely. I've never seen that play. I've never seen a ballet.
I mean, that shows you a level of commitment to his family. You can really just see through. I mean, so often I think, and we can even call put this on ourselves as the media. You look at this head coach and think, you know, he's got to be recruiting. He's got to be like out doing practice. He's got to be doing this, that, whatever, working 24-hour days. That's not possible, and that's not healthy. And to think on the very day that he led Appalachian State to a conference championship, he goes to 7 o'clock Nutcracker. It's simple but profound, and I think it tells you a little bit about him.
Yeah, I completely agree there. I mean, I didn't get the chance to talk to him for too long, being myself. I was kind of running around interviewing a bunch of people on Tuesday. You kind of handled the Cartwright responsibilities. The Sterk responsibilities and the Drinkwitz responsibilities when I was kind of running around interviewing yeah. anybody and everybody else.
I mean, man, yeah. Pinkel was there, and that really a show of support from Gary Pinkel.
Yeah, Gary Pinkel was there. Mike Alden was there. Konzo Martin was there. Brick Haley, who was the interim head coach and the associate senior head coach under Barry Odom, was there. Ryan Walters is there, as I mentioned. About a dozen players were there, and a lot of fans. I thought actually a good crowd showed up
There was a good crowd.
What a Mizzou hire would be. I thought it was going to be a lot less than that, to be honest with you. But it was actually a good crowd showed up on hand. But yeah, that's kind of all that's new. I can ask Kevin this because he asked a question at the press conference, and I wanted to wait until kind of the breakout sessions, a more personalized one-on-one, to ask all my questions. But Kevin kind of asked a question at the press conference. I think that was one of the main sound bites coming out of Tuesday. Is the question you asked, if you want to get into kind of where you came from asking that question and what his answer was to you.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of just a direct question. I mean, there's all this talk about. Where Mizzou leadership envisions this program being. But when you think about just the immediate challenges that Drinkwitz is going to face with the NCAA sanctions, with a team that really just had a frustrating finish from, a 6-6 year, he's coming in, first year in a new place. I said, what is a realistic expectation that you have for your first season at Mizzou as far as how that turns out? What would you view as a step forward?
And his answer was?
And his answer was, and I will quote.
Drumroll, please.
Well, I don't live in realistic expectations. I shoot for the moon. Realistic, unrealistic, I don't know what that is. I know the realistic goal is that we're going to compete every single day to be better today than we were yesterday.
That is very coach speak. That is very soundbitey, but... if you're a Mizzou fan, I think you would like that answer.
I shoot for the moon. The words of the new Mizzou head football coach, and why not?
Good night, moon. No, children's story. No, never mind. Why not? But
and there was more to his answer than that. Yeah. I think I really appreciated the way that he did open up. At first, he kind of looked and said, "Well, But it was just an honest question of this is going to be something that takes time, and I think everybody understands that. But so often in college football, there isn't that much time given. For Barry Odom, it was 4 years, and year four didn't go well. A 6-6, .500 record, and he is now looking for another job, which we probably should touch on.
We will.
He certainly will find his next situation, and I think Barry will be all right. But, that Sterk said something interesting that, there really is no set timeline for Drinkwitz. And as far as, how many wins in the first season versus, is it an expectation to go to a bowl game? I mean, yeah, I think everybody would say every season that should be the expectation.
I think Arkansas expects to go to a bowl game next year, even though there's a 0% chance that happens.
But honestly, for this program, the expectations, at least coming down from campus leadership, and I think from the fan base too, the expectations never have been any higher. 6-6 doesn't cut it anymore. That message was made loud and clear. There have been years, if you look at the hall, where getting that win number 6 maybe would be viewed much different than it was in 2019.
Yeah. 6-6 was seen as incredibly disappointing with that filet mignon of their schedule.
So this question that I asked Drinkwitz, I didn't expect a real answer, but I did appreciate him just it kind of put on a platter from, hey, you know what? You want to just... You want to take a swing at this question, and he did. I don't live in realistic expectations. I shoot for the moon.
I think you're kind of selling yourself short there, Kevin, because saying you didn't expect an answer, there's no reason to ask that question at a press conference. I think that you asked that question because it's on a lot of fans' minds, and not only does Eli deserve.
What I mean by
that
is, I don't think he's going to say, you know what? I think we got to win seven. I think we got to win seven games, and that would be okay.
You weren't expecting a direct answer.
I wasn't expecting a direct answer. I asked the question with the hope of what and into how he views success and what his goals are for Mizzou football. And I tried to ask it in a short way that he could really kind of take it in multiple different directions. But I think so often we talk, and often the best questions are what get the best responses. And I'm very glad that he was willing to respond to that one. And he shared a little bit about just his perspective.
Yeah, it crossed my mind a couple times on Tuesday, just like, this it was almost like a parade or a celebration more so than a regular press conference to me. And it's like,
yeah, not every press conference is like that. Yeah, I think that would be a misconception if that's out there.
And it's not like things were bad under Odom or that Odom was that not respected. It just seemed like, wow, they're really rolling out the red carpet for this guy when maybe Odom didn't get that support. And part of me really likes Barry Odom and likes the relationship we built with him, but it's also kind of easy to see how there's a little bit more, for lack of a better word, momentum behind what Eli Drinkwitz can kind of do at Mizzou, not only just because his bosses maybe trust him more or his track record's a little better than Barry Odom's, he's already been a head coach or whatever it may be. I think it just maybe is sometimes it isn't the right fit for two people. You know, Odom can be the greatest coach in the world, but maybe he doesn't work here right now at Missouri. Like, I think Wayne Gretzky was a coach for the Phoenix Coyotes and they were terrible. He's maybe the greatest athlete of all time. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm standing. But yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about Eli Drinkwitz in a few. But Kevin, just kind of asking you kind of here as a final kind of thought for now on this is,
what's my realistic expectation for 2020?
Yes.
How many wins?
To your question, yes.
You know, I don't have a great answer for that either. But though, I mean, I don't think I wouldn't have an answer as good as what Drinkwitz gave. Go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
No, you're fine. I wanted your answer because I've said in the past, I think based on what Barry did, Eli has to win 9 games by the end of his third season or it's a waste. That's kind of where I'm at now.
And that brings some definition. I do think you have to look at it, and some of his response of, you know, we say we're going to be better today than yesterday. I think you got to look at it as a body of work. And I think this is something with Odom. If you look at it every year that he had been here until 2019, there had been, you could look and say, you know what, there have been marks of progress. Mm-hmm. And this year was a regression. I think the big thing with Drinkwitz going forward is that the level of success that Mizzou has in 2020 is only built upon and made stronger in 2021, yeah, and so on and so forth.
So 9 wins by 2022 would be my expectation if I was a Mizzou fan.
I think, for starters, how about a winning season in year one?
Okay. That would take him to a bowl, and that'd be better than Barry did this year, technically.
I mean, if you're looking at, if you're talking about just plain and simply step forward, that would be it.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about the coaching carousel and all that when we come back on the other side, and you'll hear Kevin talk about our local sponsors here in a minute. But before that, the Mizzou Sports Podcast is brought to you by Zaxby's. Satisfy your craving for hand-breaded chicken and fresh-made salads. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order online at zaxby's.com/podcast. The Zaxby's location in Columbia is located right off of Stadium Drive and North 63. And without further ado, here is our local sponsors from Kevin.
We would like to thank our sponsors for the Mizzou Sports Podcast. University of Missouri Healthcare. University of Missouri Healthcare is proud to be the official sponsor of MU Athletics. Blue Events. Let Blue create your perfect event. Their passion for food, service, and presentation ensures that you will have a seamless and memorable event, no matter the size. They will work with you to bring your vision to life. Phyllis Nichols, State Farm Insurance. There when things go wrong, here to help life go right. And now back to our podcast.
And welcome back to the Mizzou Sports Podcast. We're actually in real time of recording this today. We have a tiny bit of breaking news. We told you that Eli Drinkwitz is going to start to form his staff, and we have the first two additions earlier today. He announced the first assistant, but just in real time, we have Eric Link hired as the special teams coordinator. Kevin?
Yeah, Eric Link, really quite the extensive history with Drinkwitz. These two were quality control assistants together in 2010 when Auburn won the national championship. But they were together this past season at App State. Link served under Drinkwitz as special teams coordinator for the Mountaineers, and just was looking at the numbers: 7 blocked kicks for App State this season, most in the country.
I don't think Missouri blocked a kick the entire season.
But one thing that Drinkwitz made clear on his first day in his introductory press conference was special teams would be, and I quote this, the heartbeat of the program. The best players will play on special teams is what he said. And now he's brought along a coach who is going to really lead that effort. And from what Drinkwitz said Tuesday, the special teams coordinator, which is a relatively new position, at least for Missouri. Andy Hill has done that the past couple of years. But before that, I don't think MU had ever had somebody in that exact role. He's going to be over all six special teams units, just over the execution and the game planning, all of that. So we'll look for what Link can do. Link was also at Louisiana Tech. That was 2018. Mm-hmm. So that's what we got for special teams, and that's just been confirmed here in the last few minutes.
And then early this morning, Charlie Harbison was hired as the associate head coach and will have an assistant coaching role on the defense, possibly defensive coordinator, but I think that might be reserved for somebody else.
Backs?
I think defensive backs is kind of where he's going to be because that's what he coached last year at Appalachian State. I mean, Harbison's been everywhere. I mean, he's had so many different jobs, but most notably LSU for a little while. He was the defensive backs coach on the Arizona Cardinals for the last 2 years. He was at Alabama at a time, Auburn at a time. I think he was on that exact staff that everybody talked about, the 2010 staff. He's also been at Clemson for a little while, so definitely a good hire. At least on paper, it seems like they're kind of filling out his staff. So
the first two guys that Drinkwitz brings into Mizzou,
both from App State.
Connections from App State.
And the one guy I'm kind of looking at is, does Ted Roof come with him as the DC? Because we know he's going to serve as his own offensive coordinator. That's at least what he said. He'll be the primary. Drinkwitz is going to be the primary play caller and his own offensive coordinator. Therefore, Derek Dooley will not be retained.
At least so we would have to imagine.
I mean, he was one way out the door after the Memphis game anyway. Sorry, Tennessee game anyway. But with that said, looks like more and more signs are kind of pointing to a kind of clean break here of a whole new staff from Missouri. But with that said, Brad Davis has already gone to Arkansas as the offensive line coach there. Under Sam Pittman, Ole Miss hired Lane Kiffin, which I thought actually might happen to Missouri for a little while. But the status of Barry Odom is kind of up in the air. I mean, it looks like kind of one of two places is kind of where he's going to end up right now. Either if Memphis does not hire their interim head coach on a full-time basis, Ryan Silverfield, who was on their staff under Mike Norvell, might be interviewed today according to the Memphis Commercial Appeal for the permanent job. If Barry doesn't land that, he might be Arkansas's new DC. Might be staying in the conference, and that would be kind of good. I mean, from covering Barry, the one thing that kind of seemed to motivate him more than anything else is telling Barry he can't do something really set a fire under him that he had to do it. That didn't really work too well at the end of this season, but that's kind of where his motivation comes from. I mean, if he comes in and goes to Arkansas, any person doesn't believe Missouri-Arkansas is a rivalry, myself included.
It would become one then.
The Battle Line rivalry, sponsored by Shelter Insurance. I heard that so many times. Oh my God. I have to say the full thing. But the Battle Line rivalry, sponsored by Shelter Insurance, was... that would go out the window. Barry coming back to Columbia in his first year. Actually, the game's in Kansas City in 2020, but facing his old alma mater in that state within a year of being fired, woo, that would be something. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of where the coaching carousel stands now. We'll bring any more updates.
We're almost off of it. You know, we've been riding it with our coverage, and
college football is not off of it. Missouri is almost off.
We as in here at the Tribune covering Mizzou athletics. We're kind of it's been quite the stretch, but here we are.
Here we are, and we'll hopefully bring you more on Drinkwitz as time goes by. But we're going to touch on a little bit of basketball here and volleyball before we send you off from listening to this episode. But Missouri men's basketball last Saturday actually defeated Temple at Temple, 4 days after losing to Charleston Southern at home. So they're 5-4 right now. Their next game is against Southern Illinois on Sunday at home. Looks to be possibly 6-4. Going into bragging rights on the 21st, next Saturday. So, yeah, that's kind of where they stand right now.
Really solid win on the road at Temple.
Yeah.
64-54. You know, that that night with a loss would have dropped Mizzou under 500 at 4-5.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're 5-4. You got to expect a win Sunday. No, nothing's for granted. And then you go into Bragging Rights 6-4, like you said. Just looking back at that that Temple game, Javon Pickett
coming off the bench
to lead the Tigers in scoring with 16. Really kind of a show out type of night for him. And Mizzou really needed it.
For sure. And the thing that occurred to me is, like, Temple had looked really great to that point in the season. I mean,
only had lost to Maryland.
Only lost to previously undefeated Maryland. And they hung with the Terps for that entire game. And then Missouri kind of romped them. It just that's college basketball for you. And I mean, Illinois defeated number five Michigan last night. So kind of a really odd Bragging Rights team where it's peaks and valleys so much. Yeah. For both teams heading to that matchup in St. Louis next Saturday. It's going to be really interesting.
It's going to be a fun one.
And then volleyball season did unfortunately end at number five Nebraska for the second straight season at nationally ranked Nebraska. They dominated Northern Iowa. That match was never close in the first round.
It wasn't competitive, no.
And then they took the first set from Nebraska, but then Nebraska showed why they're a favorite to win the national title.
There's a reason they're number five in the nation.
Mizzou didn't do anything technically wrong. Mizzou nearly won that third set that went 32-30.
Yeah, and that swayed everything there.
And from there,
that's tough to come back.
It's tough to come back from that. Yeah, and so very first promising season under Josh Taylor and Molly Taylor. They're retaining basically most of their good big pieces. I mean, Riley Sense, their defensive specialist, is the only kind of starter that's leaving.
Kylie DeBerg,
Lekator Mbemene, Andrea Fuentes, Dariana Hollingsworth Santana are all coming back. So things look promising for 2020 for them. To continue the NCAA streak and hopefully have a full year under Josh and Molly.
we'll give them some nicknames.
Yeah. We're getting to the end of this episode and we're just, this has been a limited sleep, hard work kind of 3 weeks coming to the end of this period here. Hopefully you and I can get some sleep and we'll get things back on normal track with a guest next week for the Mizzou Sports Podcast and go from there. So unless there's anything else you want to add, thanks for listening to this week's episode. And Kevin, why don't you give us the outro?
For the Mizzou Sports Podcast, until next time.